Have you got chapter 3? Look at verse 8. We'll study about the first sin of man later. Tomorrow we'll do that. But look at here in verse 8. We're talking about Adam and Eve now. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We know why they hid themselves, because they had eaten of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. They came to realize, not understanding it before, that they had been naked from creation, but now, having become knowledgeable of good and evil, they realize they're naked. And all of a sudden they're standing there naked, and they hear the Lord God. I believe it was Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. Why do I say that? Because there are three persons in the Holy Trinity. One person of the Godhead you can't see, that's the Holy Spirit. One person of the Godhead, if you see, you die. John 1:48, that's God himself. And one person of the whole Godhead you can see and live forever. I submit it was Jesus Christ standing in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because he created it all. Man, he created all of this, and he's hanging around to have a relationship. He said, this is abundantly excellent. What else could I do any better? This is great. And so he's having a relationship. And Adam and Eve realize they're naked, and now they start to hide. They hear his voice. They're going to see him walking. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? As if he didn't know. Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And we'll get into the rest of that tomorrow. There was a relationship. A relationship between the Creator and his creation in the Garden of Eden. A creation relationship. By the way, you want to know something interesting? There's a similarity between the temple of God and the Garden of Eden. Think with me. Do you remember anything about the temple? You have the Holy of Holies, where the glory of the Lord is. You have the holy place, where the priest can come and minister. And you have the court of Israel, where all the Jewish people can come. You know what you have in the garden? The inner garden, where God is. The outer garden, where Adam and Eve are located. And the land of Eden, where they were sent out. Why do you think God instructed them to build a tabernacle, less than a temple, in that way? And so now we see that the Garden of Eden was an act of deity. I've tried to give you an accurate description of the Garden of Eden. Let me show you the attribute as we conclude. The attribute of the Garden of Eden. You know what it was? Dominion. Have you got chapter 1 still open? Look at chapter 1 just for a second here in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God appoints dominion to humankind, man that he had brought into existence. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God gave dominion to humankind, dominion over all of creation. It was an appointed dominion. By the way, he gave dominion over the animals. In chapter 2, remember when he brought the animals into the garden? He said, now Adam, what are you going to call these animals? And Adam named all the animals because he had dominion over them. And then how did he bring woman into existence? Please excuse me, I'm not a Mel Chauvinist pig, but I try to be a biblist. When he found no helpmate for man after naming all the animals, God said, did you get a helpmate? No. Well, may I suggest I take care of that? And he reached in and grabbed a rib of the man and made woman. You see, the first woman came from man. And after that, every man comes from a woman. But it gives man dominion. Again, I'm not a male chauvinist pig. I'm simply trying to be a biblist. Man, dominion over all the creeping things, over all of animals, and over even woman who came from him. Who's standing around watching? A man named Lucifer. Excuse me, an angel named Lucifer. Lucifer. Watching God. Who was Lucifer? 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel says he was the appointed cherub placed in the position of prominence over all of creation in the Garden of Eden. We'll look at it tomorrow. In the Garden of Eden, Lucifer was there over all of creation watching what was going on. He saw God slip by him and go to man to give dominion over all the creation. And Lucifer says, I wanted that. I wanted that. I wanted to rise above God. I wanted to be worshipped, Isaiah 14. I wanted it. It was appointed to man to have dominion. It was attractive to Lucifer. And so he starts to put in motion a way to get that dominion. That's the third chapter of Genesis. We'll dig into it tomorrow. It's the reason for sin. But it's going to be absolute. May I tell you what started in the Garden of Eden with the first Adam will be completed by the second Adam. In a restored Garden of Eden, dominion over all of creation. The two, the Garden of Eden in the beginning, will once again be established at the end, and the Alpha and the Omega, who had dominion ultimately at both spots, will be reinstituted. First Adam, dominion. Garden of Eden. Second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ. Garden of Eden, over all of creation. In his kingdom. Remember Daniel chapter 2? Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And the dream concluded by saying, had 10 toes of iron and clay. Oh, by the way, Daniel's going to have a dream, and it's going to see a head with 10 horns. And it's talking about a revived Roman Empire. 10 kingdoms coming together under Antichrist on this earth. Best case scenario is that the European Union is at least the infrastructure of that revived Roman Empire. I didn't say it's the absolute fulfillment of that prophecy. At least the infrastructure. They have a governmental operation. They have an economic system, the euro. They are now putting in place a military. So best case, European Union is a infrastructure for the fulfillment of the garden of the revived Roman Empire. You know what Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar? Verse 44, chapter 2. When you see this happening, know this, that the stone, Jesus Christ, will come back and destroy that revived Roman Empire, and he'll set up his kingdom and have dominion. How close are we to that time of Jesus going once again into the Garden of Eden to have dominion? About that far, as we quickly approach all the prophetic scenario leading to the return of Christ to the Garden of Eden to have dominion. That stone destroying Gentile world powers and establishing his kingdom, his dominion over humankind. The Garden of Eden, the Alpha, beginning, and the Omega, the end. Father, as we've just simply tried to lay a foundation in these moments together, from your word, to look at the Garden of Eden. And we're going to continue in our study. We're going to advance this discussion as we continue through the Word of God, as we see the establishment of sin, the establishment of a sacrificial system, the significance of the city of Jerusalem, and the scenario for the last days. All centered around the Garden of Eden. Where you started it, you're going to finish it. I will restore unto Zion the Garden of Eden. This waste land will become the Garden of Eden. Those verses have great importance. And as we study together and as we realize how close we are, and as we hear an Islamic cleric, the Mufti of Jerusalem, say, well, that spot there that's so sacred to you dates all the way back when the first mosque was put up in the Garden of Eden. How significant that statement is. Allow us to study the Word, to understand your truth, to realize the day in which we're living. In thy precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.